radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello and welcome aboard, Gallant and George. It is Tuesday, February 11th, 2025. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George. Joe, a lot of stuff to dive into on today's show. The latest with Alex Bregman. We're just one day away from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach. And other things that we'll touch on, including the Dallas Mavericks, who are somehow more at rock bottom than they were when they traded Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers for practically nothing. But we touched on this a couple of days ago. We've established, and everyone knows this, that Houston, Texas is a basketball town, right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
I mean, you got the Rockets. You got the Cougs. But we live in a world that changes. It changes quickly sometimes. The Houston Rockets have lost six of their last seven. They're not playing tonight. They didn't play last night. And on the broadcast, on the Space City Home Network, we've said a lot of great things about Craig Ackerman and Ryan Hollins. But can you believe what Ryan Hollins said over the weekend? This is reprehensible.
Yeah, somebody got dick in the face, Craig. See if he's okay.
I mean, we're just talking about guys getting ram-a-lama ding-dongs in the face?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not doctored audio. Sean, can we play that one more time? I think people need to understand what went down in the Space City Home Network.
Yeah, somebody got dick in the face, Craig. See if he's okay.
I'm not okay. I didn't want to hear naughty language about phallic objects while watching a Rockets game. My little cat, old in cat years, but she doesn't need to hear that language.
No, she does not. My son doesn't need to hear it.
Right.
He's in repeating mode, Paul. Oh. Anything I say, he says back to me.
And now when Ryan Hollins is talking about dicks in the face, little Joe Jr. is going to be talking about that.
Yeah, he might just say it right back to me.
Ryan Hollins.
My wife's going to hear it.
Right. And then you're going to get in trouble.
Yes.
Even though it's Ryan Hollins' fault. Now, at the very least, even though this is a basketball town, Ryan Hollins, he put out a statement. Here's the missing context. Grady Dick drove to the basketball, took a contested layup, and missed it. He laid on the floor so long that play resumed on the other end, and there was no call made. When play stopped, you will go to a replay. Upon the replay, you could see the hit to the face as we explained why he stayed on the floor. Yes, after saying it, you realize what you said and feel the childish embarrassment. Later in the game, one of our guys was knocked down for some time, and the exact phrase was said, he got dick in the face. We talked for 2 hours plus, and there's a 5-second clip running rapid. Please gather context next time. For the rest of his career, it's just one of those names. Above all, if there's anyone offended, I send my apologies. Love you guys. Check us out next game. I feel bad for Ryan Hollins. I feel like the need to put out a notes after that.
Because Roosh asked him if they made him apologize. He said no. He said, nah, this is 100% me for me. We know that don't want 5 seconds out of context. I didn't feel comfortable with it. Ryan, buddy, didn't have to apologize. It's okay. It's his name.
The fact that he apologized makes me wonder if he actually was talking about not Grady Dick.
And talking about
dick in the face.
Yeah.
Not the Grady Dick version of Dick.
I thought it was a joke that I thought when I saw the notes app, I thought it was going to be a bit that he was like leaning into it, because I've heard other broadcasters when their team plays the Toronto Raptors, they are childish and lean into it because it's funny. Like it's childish humor. There's a line not to cross. We don't need to apologize, Ryan. It's okay. We know what you meant. Everyone knows the guy on the ground's last name is Dick. It's just his name.
It's a funny first name.
I think I feel bad for Grady now.
I don't. It's a funny last name. It's a funny first name. My brother-in-law, his dad is named Dick. I had a teacher in school whose name was Richard Beaton, which I'm not kidding. Poor guy.
Poor. That's a poor. Honestly, terrible parents.
Especially
terrible parents.
For a future high school teacher.
Yeah.
He was a really nice guy, but we laughed about that behind the scenes. And now Rockets basketball, it might be unwatchable. So basketball town now on the ropes. Even worse last night, did you catch our beloved Cougs playing Baylor last night? I hope you did, because at the very end, you know what you probably saw? You probably saw West Coast bias stepping in and not allowing us to see what happened at the end of the game.
Kevin and Coach in studio, we want to give you this important navigation. If you want to catch the finish of Baylor and Houston, we invite you to head to ESPNU. Here on ESPN, Coach, it is the Laker debut of Luka Doncic. What are you interested to see?
Two of the toughest matchups in all of college basketball, playing together, trying to coexist and find a way to take the Lakers back to the level that they expect to be at, competing for championships. That's what I expect to see, and that's the big question moving forward.
Jazz and Lakers, Dave Pasch, Tim Legler on the call.
The wait is over in Los Angeles.
I mean, ESPN, you know, speaking of Grady Dick, ESPN, they know which of those things they want to polish, if you will.
Yes.
It's always the Lakers. So, Joe, I don't even know if the Cougs won last night. There were 11 minutes left in that game. They were winning, but that's a top 10 team getting moved to ESPNU.
I don't even know if I have ESPNU.
Right.
I'll be honest.
I don't either. Who knows if we have ESPNU anymore with all these streaming packages and how much they're changing? So, look, going into last night, Houston was a basketball town. But here's the thing. It's February 11th, 2025. And Astros pitchers and catchers are reporting to spring training tomorrow. So we're not just looking at this city as a basketball town anymore. In fact, Houston's reign as a basketball town, it's over. Houston is once again a baseball town.
It's back.
It's back. And I mean, listen,
it might change again, but it's back.
It can always change. This is the most competitive sports market in all the land when it comes to who cares about what and what sports at the top. But well, it was a nice couple of weeks for basketball town Houston. It's now baseball town Houston. Okay? So don't get it twisted. Honestly, with us being one day away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach, Sean, I'm putting you on the spot here. But I'm jonesing for something. I'm jonesing for a little something. And I think you know the only answer that can give me that little itch. Do we have the Astros cocaine song? I would love to play.
Oh, I was ready for her.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
I was thinking we were Paul. I was like, I think we're getting the cocaine song
No. The countdown's always at 145. No.
Okay, well, then, yes, you're going to have to give me a lot more time.
Sorry about that. It just came to me right now. Because guess what? Houston, baseball town, once again. And I know a lot of people are saying, Paul, you're so annoying because you do this 7 to 8 times a year, changing what kind of a town this is.
That's not you changing it.
To another town. No, I just tell the people what's what.
Yeah, the people change it.
You know, this is not me. This is me putting my hand up in the air and seeing which way the wind blows. And now the wind is blowing towards the not very well air-conditioned ballpark downtown known as Daikin Park.
Well, hopefully that's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It is an AC company, after all, that they're now named after. So,
yes.
You feel like they would fix the AC.
You would think so. And I'm really excited. What are they calling it? The Dyke Box? Ice Box?
Yeah, I think either of those.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure because, you know, sometimes you go in a different direction.
I can't wait till Blum lets that slip on the air.
Oh, it's going to happen.
And then he's going to have to issue an apology like Ryan Hollins.
Space City Home Network is teaching our kids some horrible, horrible things. So since Houston is once again a baseball town, give it to me.
Why do they argue the umpires call?
Astros.
Why do the fielders crash into walls?
Astros.
Why do you think the pitchers throw smoke? Why do you think they go for broke?
Who says it's only a game?
One day away.
Why do the catchers wear iron masks?
Astros.
Why do they dive for the dive on the grass?
Astros.
Why do they go head first into home? Why do the losers feel all alone?
Who says it's only a game?
When you want it, you give it all you've got.
The war's not over till the final shot.
It's pride and glory and fame.
That's right. Now, Astros baseball. Who says it's only a game? Baseball's back.
Baseball's back.
Houston's a baseball town once again. And guess what? We have some breaking news when it comes to Alex Bregman. Do you know what that breaking news is? The breaking news is that Buster Olney thinks people are skeptical he'll return to Houston, as is Bob Nightingale.
Wow. Whoa!
Breaking news.
So much has changed over the last 2 weeks.
We appreciate the nonstop updates that we've been getting from all baseball writers about whether or not Bregman's going to be back with the Astros, because they've been finding new ways to say the same thing, which allows us to talk about it again on the air.
Talk about just sticking a finger in the air and deciding which way the winds blow. Yeah. Either the Astros are right in the thick of it and have the best offer for Bregman, or no chance.
These are the teams that are supposedly favorites to land Alex Bregman. Tigers, Red Sox, Cubs. But the Cubs have not offered more than a 3-year contract. And sources in Houston, as Bob Nightingale reports, are skeptical he'll return to Houston. So there you go. And then there's like a bunch of Fenway Park porn, Wrigley Field porn, wherever the Tigers play porn. He could do so well in all these ballparks.
It feels like it's just been so, like, they just keep saying the same thing over and over again. Sometimes there's doors, sometimes there's not. He has 6-year offers from the Astros and yep. Tigers.
Yep.
He doesn't want to go to the Tigers, clearly, or he would take the deal.
Yep.
He has short-term offers from the Cubs and the Red Sox, and he doesn't want either of those either.
Cool.
So Alex doesn't want anything, but he wants everything.
And you know what? Life can be complicated like that. You want a little bit of things. You want a lot of things. You want some. You want it all. You want nothing. And we've got nothing new to say about Alex Bregman.
I mean, well, hey, well, you know what? Maybe by the end of the week.
Yeah.
I do think he wants to be there when the rest of the teams report to camp. So that for the Astros, that's going to be what, like Sunday or Monday, I think it is, because it's, mm-hmm. it's less than a week after pitchers and catchers report.
That sounds right.
For the Cubs, it's like Friday. So for the Red Sox, it'll be within, you know, Sunday or Monday as well, I believe. So, you know, if he wants to be there on time, if he wants to be, you know, not be late to class, he's got to show up maybe by Friday.
How many more non-updates do you think we'll get? MyBookie.ag promo code bet975. How many more non-updates? I'm going to set the over-under at 3.5.
Okay.
Reports where people are saying the exact same thing they've already said about Alex Bregman, but it's worded slightly differently.
I feel like because they're almost all the same. Because like what Buster only said is the same thing pretty much. He just didn't include that the Astros are out, but he said it's those three teams that Bob said. So basically, when it becomes the same report, that counts as one, I'm guessing. I'm going to say we're going to hit the under.
The under.
Because I was in my mind thinking 2.5 was the number.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say we're going to hit 3 more Alex Bregman updates before he signs.
More.
More.
Sean's going with more.
Yeah, he does more or less, not over under.
Yeah. Come on.
Prospects.
I'm going to say I'm gonna take the under.
Okay.
I'm going to take the under, too. I think they're realizing that we're getting wise to their crap.
I'm ready for it to be less.
I don't know. I feel like we've gotten the same exact report 4 times in the last. It's like since the weekend that Bregman was going to be an Astro, we've gotten this report at least four times.
Mm-hmm. You know,
this exact one.
Yes.
That like, there's finalists now, and there's been finalists, and sometimes the Red Sox are in it, sometimes the Cubs are in it, sometimes those two teams aren't in it. It's the only consistent team is the Tigers, which is very funny because, yes, it doesn't seem like he wants to go there.
I also love that this is like the only time in free agency ever, I feel like, there's something missing. The mystery team.
Oh, yeah.
There's always no mystery team in baseball. There's always a mystery team.
No mystery team.
There's no mystery teams this time with Alex Gregg.
25 teams are saying no thanks.
Yeah. Toronto wanted to be a team that was actually thought of as one of the teams that's seriously in on him. But, yeah, no one took that seriously. No offense. You're Canadians.
Yeah. Didn't they sign a couple guys, too, like where it kind of takes them out of the
correct
big splash?
So. Yeah, something like that. So here we are, guys. Houston is a baseball town again, but – whether it is or isn't a baseball town for the foreseeable future, you never know. And you also have no idea what's going on with Alex Bregman. How about that? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text. And you can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN975. I'm on Twitter /X at Gallant Says if you want to reach me that way. Joe is at Joe George Radio. And Sean behind the glasses at Sean A. Mapes. Up next, Texans fans are getting really swarmy. And once again, there's a hot commodity potentially on the open market that people are getting a little bit, I think, too desperate to get. Who are we talking about this time? You'll find out on the other side. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Houston, it's a baseball town once again. If you disagree, you're just wrong. It was a basketball town for a couple of weeks. It was a football town September, October, November, and December. And then Christmas Day happened. And for a little bit of time, it was a cricket town. People don't talk about that. That was right around Christmas.
When there was, oh yeah, after the Ravens game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, hey, don't even bother with any sports. But then it became a basketball town. Now it's a baseball town. And now you guys know. Deebo Samuel is a wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. And he requested a trade before the Super Bowl on Sunday. Report from Adam Schefter. The 49ers have granted Deebo Samuel and his agent Torrey Dandy permission to find a trade partner for the wide receiver. This comes after Samuel asked San Francisco to trade him during the players' exit meetings after the season. And naturally, Texans fans are getting a little swarmy.
Yeah.
They are swarming up a storm in their pants. Whenever you mention a wide receiver around this fan base, doesn't matter if you traded a second-round pick for Stephon Diggs or if you have Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Stephon Diggs, even if two of those guys are hurt. Nope. You can never have enough wide receivers here in Houston. Damn the cap. Damn building a roster. Damn getting an offensive line. Damn getting better defensive linemen on the interior. Damn getting a better tight end. Damn everything except for just give me all the wide receivers because I'm a fantasy football pants.
Yeah, they're like dogs chasing after a squirrel or a tennis ball at this point. Every time they hear a wide receiver, they go, squirrel? Mm-hmm. Wide receiver? And they're just like, that's what they want. That's all they care about.
My cat chasing after a piece of string and then eating the string.
Do you do the laser pointer?
No, she's a little too lazy for that.
Okay.
But the piece of string I put out there, she'll eat it and then she'll puke it back up.
Yeah.
And honestly, I just feel like we gotta stop. We gotta stop with this.
It's all I get it, okay? Stephon Diggs, ACL, not on the roster technically. Tank Dell wouldn't address his rehab last night. I don't know what's up with that. I guess he just wanted to only be focused on the Cougs, but did not answer questions about his injury rehab and where that was at when he was at the game last night. Don't love that totally. But not every wide receiver has to be connected to the Houston Texans, guys. It's also when they're $20 million, they're going to cost you draft capital. You have no cap space. Your offensive line sucks big time. Like you have needs at wide receiver for sure, but not every single wide receiver that hits the market has to be connected to the Houston Texans.
Well,
and you can't like all of them also.
Get ready, though, because that's what's going to happen. T. Higgins, Texans.
Yep.
Ja'Marr Chase, Texans. Cooper Kupp, Texas. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill, Texas. You know, it's just going to be this for the next couple of months. Between that and NFL draft talk, mock drafts, and everything else, I forgot how much I hate the NFL offseason.
Yeah, but don't you like, if because it seems like everybody wants everybody. Like, don't you have to like pick a stance on the wide receivers you'll want at some point if you are some of these Texans fans? Like,
or is one it just guy you shiny... like over all others?
Yeah, like if you want to be Team Debo, that's fine, but then also don't be Team Cooper Kupp. Like I just you can't. Everyone can't be at the top of your wish list.
Oh wow! So you got to pick. You're making this into a race war. Pick Debo or pick Cooper
or Tyreek Hill. See, fix that one.
They're different styles for sure.
They are,
and I don't think Debo fits here. Especially if Bobby Slowick was still here, I would not trust Bobby Slowick to figure out how to use Debo Samuel correctly. I look at Debo and I see a guy who can do a lot of things with the ball in his hands, but getting the ball to his hands is actually rather difficult. And I'm not sure he's as good as he thinks he is, even though I am a big fan of Debo Samuel. I think Samuel thinks he's one of the top three receivers in the game. And sorry, he is a really good give-him-the-ball kind of player, sort of like Percy Harvin was back in the day, but I don't really look at him as the kind of person that I'm throwing passes on the sideline to because he's going to be running a crisp route and get open. Like, that's not him.
No, I also want someone to, like, take the top off a little bit. Like, I want some speed on this team. He's not really that guy. He's... you know, getting the ball out of the backfield and you're doing creative things with him and he can be a weapon in a bunch of different ways. But isn't that what Tank Dell can be? Like when he's healthy, which I know he's not right now.
I don't know if he'll ever be healthy again, though. That's the problem. And that lends itself to these conversations.
I do agree with that. Like, especially, I don't expect him to play football this season. It'd be a nice surprise if he did, but it's a very severe injury. It's every CL was torn on that play. Yeah. His kneecap was dislocated. Like, the idea that he's going to play football this year feels unrealistic, but are you going to continue to mortgage your future in draft capital? Which, yes, the draft is a crapshoot, but Nick Caserio has done a really good job with a lot of second and third round picks. Not all of them, of course, because they're not all going to hit, but you traded second round picks last year for Diggs. You know, you could have had an extra one this year, but that's now out the window. Are you going to trade a day three pick? Like, that's what ESPN's projecting for Debo Samuel. Yeah, I think the return is fair, but he's also going to want a contract with that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're out. Like, Cooper Kupp probably doesn't need a new contract. Still don't love the idea. I'd rather just... I'm kind of pro-Diggs of, like, if you're going to focus on, like, these three guys, which one would you want back?
Mm.
The reason why I like Diggs more is part of it is because you have $60 million in dead cap space. So, like, at least if you bring Diggs back, like, you can extend out that contract a little bit and move some of your dead cap space with him and open up room on in your salary for other moves this year. I think it provides you just a little bit more flexibility.
He's the easiest one to theoretically bring back into the fold, but just like with Dell and also like with Cooper Kupp, I don't know that these guys are going to be the same players on the other side. And it is a shame. I mean, they've had just the Texans really brutal luck at that position. Dell getting hurt in his rookie year and getting shot in the offseason and then having one of his own players dive into his leg while trying to catch a pass because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But listen, you're definitely looking at guys in the draft. You got to be real careful about all the trade conversations. Is Debo Samuel significantly going to make this team better when you think about this? I don't know how many people saw the number that Patrick Mahomes was facing as far as pressure in the Super Bowl, but he was pressured on 38.1% of dropbacks. That's the fifth highest pressure rate he's faced in his NFL career, leading to his second worst performance in his career by EPA, if you care about that metric. CJ Stroud, meanwhile, had an average pressure rate of 39.4% this season. So Patrick Mahomes running for his life against the Eagles, technically, that was less pressure on average than CJ Stroud faced all year. Mahomes looked completely lost in that game. There were times where Stroud did not look like he knew what he was doing out there because of that pressure. Is getting a wide receiver going to fix that pressure? It's not.
No, and I don't think, and if CJ Stroud is the quarterback that going into this last season that everyone projected him to be, after a great rookie season and great playoff performance versus the Browns, if you fix your offensive line to make it at least average, I don't think you have to, you know, put in a, you know, 2017 Pro Bowl lineup of wide receivers with these old guys to make C.J. Stroud a really good quarterback again. Like, he can make it work with lesser talent. There are guys like Darius Slayton who could be an option for you this offseason, who have had flashes in New York with Daniel Jones as his quarterback that could come in on the cheap. You can look at the draft.
I don't hate that one.
Where, like, it's the first or second round pick. Like, you just, you don't have to be in on, like, just the splashy names. It's about fit into the offense, fit with C.J. Stroud, and protecting him.
And some youth.
Yes, definitely some youth.
You got to be careful with the guys in entering their 30s. That's not to say that receivers in their 30s go off of a hill, but that is one of those positions where when you start to lose a step, much like at cornerback, it's very noticeable. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to chime in? 713-780-3776 to call to text. Should the Texans go after Deebo Samuel? Up next, Houston is a baseball town, not a basketball town. But Dallas is a loser town. And what the Mavericks are going through, if you thought the Luka Doncic trade was bad, they've actually gone through worse since the Doncic trade. What are we talking about? You'll hear next. Stick around.
Let's talk about OU Athletic. It's 2025. It's time to work on those New Year's resolutions. Look, if you haven't started yet, it's still February. Still plenty of time left in the year to get this thing rolling. Check them out, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights, oathletic.com, and oathletic on Instagram. On their website, you can see the 100 classes they offer during the week, ranging from agility training, weightlifting training, anything you want to do, even things like Brazilian jiu-jitsu and boxing classes. You can sign up for a personal trainer, and they also have all the recovery needs you have as well, like in the endless pool, sauna, and steam room. It's the gym for me. It should be the gym for you. Check them out, oathletic.com.
Back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Dallas Mavericks are a bunch of bozos. It's really funny to see them mishandle the trade of Luka Doncic and mishandle everything after worse than said trade. I didn't think it would be possible, Joe, for them to one-up themselves in terms of seeming completely incompetent. But this is just a list of things that have happened over the last 72 hours or so. Mavs governor Patrick Dumont compared Luka Doncic to a bunch of NBA legends who had a lot of work ethic. One of those guys that he included in the comparison was Shaquille O'Neal, who famously got out of shape one offseason because he wanted to use some leverage to get out of town. Last night, a fan tricked a cameraman into showing him during karaoke cam. He was singing at first. When the camera zoomed in on him, this man, quick on the trigger, mouthed, "Fire Nico." He was escorted out of the stadium. After the game, Jason Kidd wasn't made available. And on top of all that, Mavs legend Dirk Nowitzki, who played with Luka Doncic not that long ago, went to the Lakers debut of Luka Doncic last night, which seemed like quite the FU towards the new management of the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, they're a mess. Apparently, there was another fan that got thrown out, too. Besides the video, they also had Fire Nico signs. I heard Dell and Sean talking about that because I missed that. But, like, you're throwing out fans for signs? Your new owner is comparing Luka to Shaq?
They will be on Soft Boys tomorrow. We cannot crush them enough.
Yeah, they are unraveling. I mean, like, I really do think like the order is important because the cherry on top of all of it is for Dirk to be in LA last night, rooting on Luka. It just like that's your GOAT. That is the greatest player of all time.
Two birds towards the organization that built a statue of him, which they barricaded on Saturday because they were afraid it would be torn down.
And, like, imagine, like, that would have been like if Andre Johnson would have gone to, Like, if Deshaun didn't have all the legal troubles, like Andre Johnson sitting in the owner's box at a Browns game for Deshaun Watson, like the FU that would have been to the Texans franchise if that would have happened. We've never seen anything like this. Like, you didn't see like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Miami rooting on Shaq and D-Wade. Like, this is, it's unprecedented, it feels like.
And the difference is, in that situation, we love Andre Johnson, but Andre Johnson in his field is not Dirk Nowitzki in his field.
No.
Dirk's one of the greatest NBA players to ever play the game. Nothing against Andre Johnson, who's one of the best receivers, but Dirk's at the top. We're talking top 25, top 30 players ever. And this guy chose to go to this game, and it's clearly a shot at the Mavericks. It is 100% a shot at the Mavericks. Very curious to see what he'll say as an analyst the next time he gets an opportunity about these Mavericks and what they've been doing. Anthony Davis, by the way, could be out a month after injuring his groin against the Rockets on Saturday. On top of that, there's really funny reporting going on about Nico Harrison, the Mavericks general manager, and how he's supposedly receiving death threats. This was Tim McMahon on Friday, right after we got off the air, talking about how things are getting a little bit dangerous for the Dallas Mavericks front office.
Nico Harrison has been subjected to death threats. There have been racial epithets included in some of those. Certainly security is going to be beefed up. There will be protests outside the arena, or at least those are planned. Security will absolutely be beefed up. Nico Harrison is not going to be in his normal seat in the stands. They just don't. There's no reason to subject him to that kind of a security risk. So that has been definitely an unfortunate part of this whole storyline. Obviously, the fans' anger, hey, they have every right to feel like they got a generational superstar ripped away from them, but clearly lines have been crossed.
So that's ESPN reporter Tim McMahon. But what's really funny is there's a reporter by the name of Grant Afseth, who's an independent reporter, who called the local police in Dallas and asked if there were any death threats made against Nico Harrison. The Dallas Police Department told him, quote, "There are no known threats at this time," end quote. And Tim McMahon got very salty about this. Here he is on the Hoop Collective podcast with Brian Windhorst going off on this independent reporter, Grant Afseth.
"I've been ripped because the Dallas Police Department's told some wannabe journalist that, oh, we haven't had any, there's no known threats to us." Folks, the Mavericks have security that's literally been at the highest level of American law enforcement. The threats did not raise themselves to where they felt like they needed to be reported to police. But I guarantee you, and I've heard from multiple sources, that he's received death threats. By the way, I've received a couple death threats. I didn't report them to police, but this is how pissed off people are about this trade.
Because they're not real.
Internet death threats aren't real. I get them all the time, too. They're not real.
He just said that they weren't real enough to tell the police. Like, then they're not real death threats. Like, if you don't view them as, like, police-worthy.
Right.
Then they're just veiled threats. Like it's all they are.
It's angry people talking online. Yeah, if you actually had something credible to go off of, you know what? That does suck for Nico Harrison. And once again, I do hope this works out because Luka's actually fat and out of shape, as we saw last night in his Laker debut. But that's besides the point here. It's funny to see this also becoming an issue where now it might be fake news that Nico Harrison is receiving serious death threats. And they're putting that out there almost to make Mavericks fans feel bad about the fact that they just traded away an icon for a guy in Anthony Davis who's already hurt.
But, like, I think it feels like, Paul, like they're trying to flip the script on the fans in general. I mean, saying, like, he's not going to be in his seat because why should he be subjected to that? And it just feels like they're trying to make the Mavs fans all seem like terrible people. And, like, he deserves to get booed. He's hiding from the media. The coach is hiding from the media. Like they're not talking. They're not answering questions. They're not answering a lot of questions. They're not doing radio interviews. Like they're not doing anything. And they're trying to make it seem like, oh, there's all these death threats. They can't sit in the stands. We get fans are pissed. There's going to be protests. Those protests were pathetic. There was barely anyone out there. There was more people that first day when they brought out the casket, which was very funny. But like, they weren't like real protests. We saw the videos coming out from the Rockets people that were there. There wasn't that much.
It wasn't Antifa, right?
Yeah, like they're trying to make it sound like Mavs fans are like the scum of the earth and like trying to be like the people that burned down your apartment in Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, they're not like,
hey,
they're just upset fans.
By the way, they didn't burn the apartment down. They just broke into the Starbucks on the first floor.
Gotcha.
And everyone claimed that my apartment was burned down. I was like, oh, that's news to me. I didn't
know. Gotcha. But yeah, it feels like they're trying to... I'm kind of starting to open my mind again to the move to LA. I mean, to Vegas, because now it just feels like they're going after the fans. They're going to lose them. They're going to continue to fall apart. And at some point, you have to wonder, like, are fans actually going to stop supporting the team? Because as much as they're talking, they're also giant hypocrites, it seems like. You know, if you watch the game on Saturday, it's loud in there, man. When Anthony Davis, before he gets injured and is potentially out for the rest of the season, and he's yelling, I'm here, to the fans, which is hilarious after what's happened, they're loud. Like, they are being as loud as they possibly can in that stadium. But it just feels like now they're trying to flip this thing on the fans. It's stupid. And they're losers. Giant, giant losers.
Mm-hmm. More from the Dallas Mavericks. I guess this is one of the fans who was ejected after last night's game. I'm not sure if this is somebody who was in the same group as the karaoke fan who was ejected. I think this is just somebody who may have had a few too many to drink and decided he was going to get into it with former Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, who I guess is there almost in support of this new ownership group. Whatever the case, this is an unhinged Dallas Mavericks fan. Enjoy.
I wish I would have had video of Cuban trying to talk that shit. Hey, you don't own the team, motherfucker. You ain't got no say. You don't own the team. Clearly, you pull no fucking weight in this organization. You feel me? You ain't got to say what the fuck happens at AAC. Ain't nobody listening to your bitch ass anymore. How the fuck you act like you got some say in Dallas anymore, bitch? F*** you, Cuban. F*** you, Nico.
Angry.
And there's another part that's specifically about McMahon, too.
Yeah,
we're a different fan. I think it's a different fan going after McMahon.
Here is more of that rant by a Mavericks fan who's angry at everything.
Yo, Grant's got a video of us getting thrown out.
Y'all mother... Hey, y'all talking shit on Grant? F*** you, Tim McMahon. Bitch ass, who you talking shit on? Like you did shit ever. F*** your book. The Wonder Kid, f*** your book. F*** you. F*** everything you stand for, Tim McMahon. Bitch ass. Ain't nobody f***ing like you in Dallas. Nobody. Grant runs f***ing laps around you, bro.
It's pretty funny to see Dallas fans become Philadelphia fans overnight. While the Eagles fans, I mean, Philadelphia barely standing after the Super Bowl celebration. And we'll see if it lasts through Friday during the championship parade. But yeah, that guy sounds Philadelphian.
Yeah. Yeah. He maybe he's not from Dallas. He's adopted those teams because that seems very un-Dallas-like.
I just love the taking up for Grant, the independent reporter. I mean, like, Grant runs circles around.
Yeah.
Like, you got some media on media beef, and this guy's picking sides.
Well, the fans have chosen sides now. They hate Tim McMahon. He's got death threats, apparently.
We do need a different word for death threats, for when, like, people just tweet at you, like, kill yourself. Like, there needs to be a different word for, like, that can't also be a death threat.
I agree. When Joe talked about that chill dog incident that I had, I mean, I got a ton from that. I still have some of the emails saved. I thought it was hilarious for a little bit. The only time I got mad about the threats were when my friends were like, oh, yeah, like what they're doing is okay. What the protesters did is okay. I was like, oh, okay, I forgot. You guys are insufferably liberal. Whatever, that's fine. This is one of those situations where it's only going to get worse. And the Mavericks actually trying to censoring their fans. What do they think was going to come of that? Everyone can see this stuff now. There's no hiding kicking a fan out for having a sign or kicking a fan out for saying, for mouthing "Fire Nico" in air karaoke. He mouthed it. He didn't say "F Nico." He said "Fire Nico." I thought we believed in freedom of speech. I'm not even sure the words came out of his mouth. Are people now getting in trouble for mouthing things? What is this, Minority Report? We're putting people in jail before they even do the things that they're accused of doing? Get Tom Cruise in here. Fix this.
They're just going to do what they did on Saturday, which like got like under, feels like acknowledged that they just didn't show fans on the Jumbotron for the entire game against the Rockets. This was the first time they'd shown fans since the Anthony Davis trade and Luka Doncic trade went down. And like that's probably what they're going to do. They're just going to censor their own fans in their building and probably put up, like, the only fans that will appear will probably be under the ages of like 5, I would guess.
Yeah, just cute kids.
Let's put cute kids up.
What if the cute kid pulls a fast one?
You know what?
Just double birds to the camera.
I'll take Joseph.
To be a little fake Mavericks fan?
Yeah. I'll put him in a Luka jersey and teach him to do the double birds.
Well, probably not a Luka jersey.
I'll buy a Luka jersey. They're probably like 10% off.
But they're probably like, do not show anyone wearing a Luka jersey.
Yeah, you're probably right. Well, they also apparently, there were people who had duct tape on or tape on their Dallas Mavericks jerseys, and on Luka Doncic jerseys, and they put tape over the Mavericks. And so it just said it was like basically just they wanted to make it like just a Luka jersey, and they made him take it off.
Where they disavow
insane.
The team.
Yeah, like it's crazy. Like, I mean,
they're bringing more attention to themselves, and really what they should have done is make the trade and wait. Just wait. You got to be patient. But it's like they didn't think about what would happen after they made this move.
I mean, you have to know you're trading Luka. Like, I really think they thought, Paul, that like everyone was just going to understand where they're coming from, that he is out of shape and doesn't work hard. And people are going to forget that this is a guy who's dropped, 73 in a basketball game? A guy who's taking you to the NBA Finals single-handedly, basically. And like they were just going to pretend that none of that happened. They thought all the fans were just going to listen to what the GM said and all these reports were saying about him not working hard and being out of shape and being difficult to work with and wanting his own trainers. That like all the fans were just going to be like, yeah, cool. And like, and I get it. I get the concept of like wanting to like want your city to only like to support the team, not the players. Like that's what Houston fans have done so great for the Astros. Like no matter who's here, they support the Astros. No matter who leaves, no matter who comes, they support the Astros. But this is Luka. Like it'd be like trading Altuve after you won the World Series in 2017. Or like after you lost the World Series in 2019. Like the next year, been like, you know what? I just don't think we can win with the guy who's 5'6".
Yeah. Too little.
Like we're gonna trade him.
He might break down, so let's trade for someone who's actively breaking down as we speak.
Trading for Mike Trout and he gets hurt two days later. That's what the Mavericks just did.
But even the Mike Trout trade,
Mike Trout's better.
That would make sense because we love Jose Altuve, but in the eyes of everybody outside of Houston, Mike Trout is better than Altuve. We know that to be false and heresy, but this is totally different.
Yeah, it'd be like trading for someone who's like older. It'd be like trading at that point for Miguel Cabrera, like in 2019, trading for Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah. This is what their life is, and if this is the path they're going to choose to take, it is just going to get worse and worse.
I hope they can.
And funnier and funnier.
Every one of these games is just like an act of revolt. It's so I love when fan bases are an act of rebellion against their team. It's so fun.
I can't think of the last time we've seen a fan base in active rebellion like this. Anywhere, because you always get sell the team.
But yeah, like the A's. People weren't angry.
Yeah, people just stopped caring with the A's. I know that you're Bears, probably you have that situation from time to time, but no one's ever been this hostile, and I'm here for it because they just keep on giving us content to talk about. This is great, and it's Dallas, so it's even better. We could rub our nips to it.
And this is like a European soccer fan base. Like it's like that level of vitriol where like they're having multiple events at the stadium and they're getting thrown out of places where normally, like you said, like most US sports fans, like, they'll just kind of complain on Twitter about it, maybe have a couple chants and that's it. Like, this is like, there's like vitriol among the fan base, and they're turning on Mark Cuban, who was the good one for the first week of the trade, whereas Mark Cuban would never made this trade. And then he shows up to a game for some reason, tells fans to shut the hell up, and now everyone hates Mark Cuban. It's so great. It's just burning to the ground.
Yeah, it's – I don't even know, like, what to – like, Patriots fans, like, were never this upset, it felt like, chose Belichick over Brady, right?
No.
Like, they weren't, like, angry. No. They might have been, like, sad, but they weren't, like, angry about it.
No.
And, like, you hear sell the team chants across sports
all
the time.
Also, he was 44.
Exactly. That's why there's, like, there's no
– Not 25.
I don't know, like, how you compare this to anything. So, like, that's why it feels totally different.
It's like – maybe like a college football, like when Tennessee rebelled against hiring Greg Schiano. That's like the closest it's ever come, where they borderline slandered Greg Schiano and by
got him out, right?
Yeah, by connecting him to the Sandusky stuff,
which was ridiculous.
So ridiculous. Tennessee volunteer just because they didn't want him as the coach, just because the fan base were like, we think we can do better than Greg Schiano.
And the sad thing is that Tennessee, they couldn't, and they honestly probably should have stuck with him. I got, they're never winning. Sorry.
No, I mean, even then.
They're never winning Grady Dick, okay? They're never winning.
Even then, they hired the guy before the current guy. Like, they screwed it up anyway. I really can't think of anything like this Dallas Mavericks.
And also, I don't know if we'll ever see anything like this. It's hard to, like, logically think you're going to see this again. I mean,
someone will do it, but anytime soon, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, like, when would a team feel so compelled to trade a superstar quarterback unless they have 23 sexual assault allegations? Like,
well, even then, Deshaun Watson, before
he demanded the trade.
Assault allegations demanded. So it is a team on their own accord trading away a 25-year-old who's made 5 first-team All-NBAs and took your team to the finals the year before. And before he announces a trade, before it's even rumored that he's available, you ship his ass out. Like, that's crazy.
And, like, someone says here on the Twitch, like, Prime D-Hop and David Johnson. No. It's not going to be the same. I'm sorry. DeAndre Hopkins had 1 year. He's had 10 touchdown catches one time. He's been on, like, 5 teams since he left the Texans.
Yeah, but in the moment.
In the moment, yes. But, like, no one thinks Luka is going to be good for 1 year. He's going to be good for 15 years.
It was right after for the Hopkins trade. Hopkins was one of the best receivers in the NFL, and they had been up 24-0 on the Kansas City Chiefs months before.
Yeah.
And then they traded him. So I actually don't hate that comparison.
I also, well, the part it falls apart, I don't remember anyone picketing over it. I don't remember like the Houston media turning on itself and like this absolute like fire in the streets everywhere.
It does kind of lend itself though to that one, just the level of disinterest that the Texans often have in this town.
Mm-hmm.
I was explaining to a couple of people at my flag game yesterday after it was done. I basically was like, yeah, man, I'm already into talking baseball because people just don't really care that much about a football team in town. They just don't. And they want to talk about the team that's actually won. Houston's a baseball town again.
It is a baseball town.
And Dallas is a loser town.
Yeah, I don't know what Dallas is now.
It's a loser town.
Hockey town? Are they good at hockey this year?
I'd hope.
What are you asking?
I mean, they were on the verge of being title town not that long ago. You know, 3 straight 12-win years with the Cowboys. Dak looks like MVP. You've got the Mavericks in the finals. The Rangers win a World Series, and now losers.
And even then, like, and that's like again with Hopkins. Like the Texans they lost in the first round of the playoffs or in the divisional round of the playoffs. Like it's like Luka went to the finals.
Yeah. Also, a receiver versus like a top 5 NBA player. It's great. Even like Vikings string Jordan Jefferson wouldn't be the same thing. Justin Jefferson. It wouldn't be the same. Like that even wouldn't be the same thing.
713-780-3776 to call to text. What would be on par with this Luka Doncic trade that we are still talking about a week later because of how horribly the Mavericks have managed this? Mismanaged this, to be specific. I'm Paul Gallant. He's Joe George. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.